TV special.
Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. That was the Drums from their self-titled debut record. That song's called Book of Stories. You may recall hearing them on our most recent mixtape, number 5, with a track also from that record, Let's Go Surfing. They're playing here Sunday night, and I'm stoked because I'm really digging that record, as well as the opener is a band called Surfer Blood. And we're going to hear from them in the upcoming episode 188. But wait, wait, wait. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. And this is the B-side of episode 187, and it's already October 1st, 2010. And we are broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. Coming in early on this Friday morning. As you may know, we took last week off, had family in town, a much-needed break. But oh my God, how the stories stack up. We'll glance quickly at the breaking news on this October 1st, Friday morning. Of course, Rambo Emanuel grabbing all the headlines. A gangster, if there ever was one, leading one, leaving one criminal corporation and moving to another. Chicago, they do gangster corruption right. Gunmen torch NATO tankers in Pakistan, mass chaos in Ecuador. All that and so much more in these stories we are going to get into on today's episodes 187B and 188. And the way we're going to get into it is go over all the latest alternative media from Media Monarchy and those I'm proud enough and lucky enough to be associated with in some way. So we'll start off with the two latest episodes from NewWorldNextWeek.com, weekly 10-minute video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, breaking it down, giving you the subtext and the context in a nice bite-sized piece. And again, NewWorldNextWeek.com, you can get the high-quality episodes suitable for burning off, sharing, archiving. The September 23rd episode, we go over Mao's Great Leap Forward, killing 45 million in 4 years, Swedish anti-immigration party claiming seats, and the Pope's astronomer would baptize an alien if it asked him. Now, the ufology stories aren't generally for New World Next Week, but if you pay any kind of attention, you've realized in the last several days and weeks, if not weeks and months, the alien hype has been building. The predictive programming is there in all the film and television. And now we even see the churches and the United Nations and the military all talking about it. And we are going to go over that in this episode, since that falls under the purview of cyberspacewar.com, one of my sister sites in the Media Monarchy Kingdom. So that's the September 23rd episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. The most recent episode, however, just went up yesterday, September 30th. FBI raids Cyberstorm 3 and phony farmers markets. FBI raids on anti-war activists is intimidation, not investigation. That concerns the recent FBI raids in Chicago and Minneapolis. Cyberstorm 3 tests U.S. on cyber attack, and that's in no way related to the Stuxnet worm that is attacking computer systems worldwide. It's just a coincidence. Our third story, Pacific Northwest grocery stores setting up fake farmers markets. That hits me where I live and where I work. Fortunately, the grocery store I'm employed with is a great company, and we don't do the fakery. You don't have to. If you've got the real, you don't have to lie about it. And you can make that analogy in any kind of area you want, whether that's food or media or news or politics, what have you. If you always tell the truth, you don't have to remember your story. So that's NewWorldNextWeek.com, and I have been working on the feed that gives you the high-quality, hundreds of megs QuickTime file, the lower flash video file, even the MP3, all those things within there for you, again, to help just build it out, the redundancy, spread it. That segues into all the latest mass amount of amazing open source intelligence coming from my man James Corbett at CorbettReport.com. We're going to go in order here. Episode 146 was Lessons in Resistance, Building Communities. People are obviously isolated from each other, public spaces being privatized, and now we're all being punished for attempting to grow our own food, which we went over again on a recent episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. Georgia County sues farmer for growing too many vegetables. There's only one solution: resistance. Episode 146, Lessons in Resistance, Building Communities, explores how to build those communities through revolutionary gardening, revolutionary walking, and other everyday activities. Now, if the term revolutionary walking rings a bell, that would be because my man Douglas Lane of DouglasLane.com, the host of the Diet Soap podcast, was interviewed for episode 146, and I provide the link for you. We talked to Douglas several months back about these similar issues, and Doug is here in Portland, Oregon. Sunday update, down with the European Union. That goes back to September 9th, and again, Korber Report has been quite busy. Then we have episode 147. That would be the audio from Seeds of Deconstruction. New documentary from Tom Secker going into the false flag events of 7/7 in London. Again, drills going on at the exact same time in the exact same places with the exact same buses and trains. It's the audio off top of that new documentary. And again, if you subscribe to Korber Report, as you should, the audio is a great way for all of us who are always on the go, go, go too much. Listening to the audio of a documentary on your pod works fantastic. Episode 148, Media Kills. For decades, scientifically crafted techniques have been employed to shape our ideas and perceptions. Today, billions of dollars are spent each year trying to get you to think, act, talk, and dress in prescribed ways, and it is as successful as ever. Episode 148 tries to break out of the box by exposing the government PR media nexus for what it is. Then we've got Sunday update, September 26th, Panopticon UK, 9/11 truth censored, Canada appoints G20 cover-up. Other videos and appearances, how to defeat the New World Order, this in anticipation of this weekend's coming episode 150 from Korber Report, how to defeat the New World Order, taking submissions, video, audio, and otherwise on your way of fighting this system. You can call it the New World Order. You can call it whatever you want. But you know it's against all of us. James was on Truth Frequency Radio with Chris Geo and Cherie. Those videos are up on the Truth Frequency YouTube channel. And another installment in Korber Report's Film, Literature, and the New World Order. Previous episodes have covered Brave New World, 2001, Blade Runner, and the latest, The Insider, which is a great film. It's very well made. Soundtrack from Dead Can Dance. Epic. Beautiful. However, James Corbett gets into, I don't want to call it outright lies, but they basically paint Lowell Bergman, played by Al Pacino, to be a modern-day hero. Oh, we're running out of heroes. But as my man Richard Andrew Grove has proven, the real Lloyd Bergman was not interested in the story and the massive amount of documentation that Grove accumulated concerning Sarbanes-Oxley Act, of course, enacted in the wake of WorldCom, Enron, Tyco, all of those scandals, software that was supposed to keep track of things. It had backdoors. Those companies bought it anyway. They knew it had backdoors. That's why they wanted it. 2020 wasn't interested either. And you can learn all about this by getting the exclusive DVD-ROM 2020 Hindsight Censorship on the Frontline. You can watch the entire thing on YouTube. It's on Divergent Films' YouTube channel. But if you donate $10 to CorbettReport.com or MediaMonarchy.com or Gnostic Media, Deadline Live, Maria.net, you support alternative media and you get amazing information. So then, episode 149, Psy War. The audio from another new documentary, the story of how the rich and powerful have created the public relations industry in order to more easily manipulate public opinion into supporting their agenda. That goes right along with the previous episode 148, Media Kills. So again, I'm always just in awe. James Corbett stepping it up constantly. Over 10,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel alone. And that, I think, would be a great way of how to defeat the New World Order. And then we have my man, Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org and GroundZeroTV.org. His episodes run live here in Portland, Oregon on KUFO 101.1, the rock station. Sunday nights at 10, number one in the time slot. It shows that people are hungry for alternative information. The two most recent episodes from him, will hit the most recent one first. Good Witch or Bad Liar? Christine O'Donnell, dabbling in witchcraft. And it already seems as though this story is old, and that's what's amazing about just taking off 1 week from the show is how much things pile up. So on Klein's most recent episode, to combat all of this Tea Party left-right propaganda, Klein brought on Rex Church of the Church of Satan from right here in Portland, and a guy named Scott Jorgensen, who is, I believe, Wiccan. That episode is available on ZeroPointRadio.com, and again, your support helps keep alternative media going. An interesting addendum posted up to the bottom of this Ground Zero episode, Good Witch or Bad Liar, and we'll get into the O'Donnell story, and we'll hear the vaunted clip in episode 188. But someone apparently from Portland posted up a video to YouTube. I don't remember the channel, but Clyde posted it on his Facebook page, and that's really given this video the only traffic it was ever going to see. It's a video called Clyde Lewis, You're an Asshole, and it sounds a little bit like this.
Clyde, you're an idiot. You're a fucking moron, and you're an asshole.
Yes, that's the kind of amazing constructive criticism contained in this video. And it's just another reminder why I don't spend a whole lot of time on message boards, comments. It's a losing battle, and you just end up arguing with people and not doing anything. And hopefully you know, and hopefully that's one of the reasons why you enjoy MediaMonarchy.com, is that we don't play into these patriot games and attacking folks. Sure, there's alternative media sites and hosts out there that I think are bullshit. Do I want to take time to argue with them and debunk them? No. I think the truth will rise and the good will out. And if you put out good, consistent information, I think people can know what's going to pass the smell test or not. Don't waste time. The other episode of Ground Zero is called The Invasion of Kevin McCarthyism. And I always love Clyde's titles. This would be in reference to what we did go over on episode 187. That would be the passing of Kevin McCarthy, the star of the original 1956 Don Siegel version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. This, again, tying in with the memes, the predictive programming, the space memes. And you're going to see really what this is like here in just a few minutes as we transition into cyberspacewar.com. And we're going to do that, but I'll just quickly say again, huge thanks to all those folks who consistently put out great alternative media. Cyberspacewar.com. This transitions quite well, my friends. Ex-NORAD officer predicts tentative worldwide UFO display on October 13th. 2 weeks from now. We'll start this off with a little quote for you. Just before Wernher von Braun died, he gave an interview to Carol Rosen in which he basically said that in order to sustain the military-industrial complex, that first a false threat of terrorists would be created and used on the public, and then asteroids, and finally a false alien threat. Now, I feel like I've heard slightly different variations on those three steps put out and mentioned by Wernher von Braun. You might know him as being one of the Nazis we brought over to America as part of Project Paperclip to help us get to the moon and grow our weapons of war. That was one of our major soul-selling moments in the history of this country. But we'll take it from Jonathan Elanoff's New World Order Report.com. A newly published book by a retired NORAD officer predicts October 13th, 2010 as the tentative date for a fleet of extraterrestrial vehicles to hover for hours over the Earth's principal cities. The author says the events to be the first in a series intended to avert a planetary catastrophe resulting from increasing levels of carbon dioxide in the Earth's atmosphere, dangerously approaching a critical mass. This book is 352 pages. It's called The Challenges of Change, and it's written by Stanley A. Fulham. According to Fulham, the aliens will neither land nor communicate on that date. They are aware from eons of experience with other planets in similar conditions, their sudden intervention would cause fear and panic. We do have a few related updates to this story. Cosmic deception, the hoaxed alien invasion scenario, and this ties in with things you've heard us mention, and in episodes past you've heard us go into greater detail about things called Project Bluebeam, or a fake rapture, or a War of the Worlds type event, a la Orson Welles, and the think tanks in Princeton. Mass hysteria, that's what they want. And if we glance back at the news right now, the mass hysteria of the day is cyberbullying and suicides. Moral panics and mass hysteria. But it gets stranger and stranger and stranger. There was a National Press Club conference on UFO interference with nukes. We can grab that from Technorati, we can grab that from Reuters, and we can just listen to the guys.
Declassified U.S. government documents and witness testimony from former or retired U.S. military personnel confirm beyond any doubt the reality of ongoing UFO incursions at nuclear weapons sites. When I say UFO, the witnesses have described these craft as disc-shaped or cylindrical-shaped or spherical. These objects are capable of both hovering and high-velocity flight, usually completely silently. Over the past 37 years, I have personally located and interviewed more than 120 of these former or retired military personnel, all of whom report UFO incidents at one or more of the following locations: nuclear missile sites, nuclear weapons storage areas, and nuclear weapons test sites in Nevada and the Pacific during the era of atomic atmospheric testing.
Sometime in the evening hours on March 24th, I received a call from one of my topside guards, the flight security controller, stating that they had been observing strange lights in the sky making odd maneuvers and wanted to report it. I thought it was kind of a strange report, but I took it seriously. You have to understand, we were protecting nuclear weapons, and the reports we generally got were very professional. At any rate, I kind of dismissed the call. He called back about 5 minutes later. This time he was screaming into the phone saying they're looking at an object, a red glowing object hovering just above our front gate.
Right above us, there's a huge white thing, pulsating light, above us, and I had to call them to make sure I wasn't seeing anything.
Seeing things. The hype is there. The hype is growing. Other related updates: during the recent equinox last week, Jupiter was at its closest in 50 years. And speaking of planets, from space.com, odds of life on new found Earth-sized planet 100%, astronomer says. This is the new planet announced yesterday, September 30th, and they're calling it Goldilocks. The next post on cyberspacewar.com that, again, just continues this meme from The Telegraph: United Nations to appoint space ambassador to greet alien visitors. Maslan Othman, O-T-H-M-A-N, a Malaysian astrophysicist, is said to be tasked with coordinating humanity's response if and when extraterrestrials make contact. Aliens who landed on Earth and asked, "Take me to your leader," would be sent directly to Mrs. Maslan Othman. She'll send out the details of her proposed new role at a Royal Society conference in Buckinghamshire this week. The 58-year-old is expected to tell all delegates that the proposal has been prompted by the recent discovery of hundreds of other planets orbiting the stars, which is thought to make the discovery of extraterrestrial life more probable than ever before. Lastly, we'll note that Mrs. Othman is currently head of the United Nations little-known Office for Outer Space Affairs. OOSA.UNVienna.org. And they even have a Wikipedia entry. United Nations to appoint space ambassador to greet alien visitors. And you'd think that that would be all. But it goes on. Let's get the 9:30 DEF CON news purge from cyberspacewar.com. Total domination and digital infringement. The latest Obama internet wiretap move, however, is just one small facet of the overall total domination project that they talk about, that they want. The Obama admin drafting legislation that will see all internet providers and other online communication services, including email clients and social networks, be forced to allow the intel agency's unfettered backdoor access. Essentially, officials want Congress to require all services that enable communications, including encrypted email transmitters like BlackBerry, social network sites like Facebook, and software that allows direct peer-to-peer messaging like Skype, to be technically capable of complying if served with a wiretap order. This coming from an article in the New York Times written by Charlie Savage, and it's called U.S. Tries to Make It Easier to Wiretap the Internet. Now, as the headline of that article we just breezed through, just one small facet of this total domination project. And on many levels, we get bogged down in one area and think that's the fight. This could be just kind of a straw man. As if the internet wasn't created by the military and the biggest sites weren't funded and shepherded and fostered and started by connections to the Central Intelligence Agency and their investment arm in Qtel, like Facebook and Google. But let's get the quick breakdown on the worldwide wiretap.
It is a growing problem for the government. As phone and email technologies get more sophisticated, more conversations and emails are scrambled, making it harder to use wiretaps to listen in on potentially criminal and terrorist activity. U.S. officials say law enforcement needs a better way to tap in.
As technology changes, as the internet changes, they have to keep up or they'll lose an important tool in their arsenal.
The Obama administration is proposing new regulations that would allow a wiretap to capture an unscrambled version of conversations over the phone, computer, or email, and make them readily available to law enforcement. The changes would affect social networking sites like Facebook and phone systems that deliver encrypted mail like BlackBerry. Privacy advocates say the government's reaching too far.
I mean, obviously national security is very important, but this is just an unnecessary push for greater invasion of privacy.
The FBI says the new rules would not expand any existing authority and would involve legally authorized intercepts of communications from terrorists or other criminals. Sagar Meghani, The Associated Press, Washington.
So just like the previous puppet said, oh, we're just doing it to listen to Al-Qaeda. It's lies. They sell it to you like it's for the terrorists, but it's always been meant for us because ultimately, all crime is terror. Section 802 of the Patriot Act. We have more on this story from allgov.com and startribune.com, all basically sourcing back and analyzing this original report from Charlie Savage in the New York Times. But let's take another second and just get a little perspective and listen to candidate Obama.
To seize this moment, we have to ensure free and full exchange of information. And that starts with an open internet. I will take... I will take a backseat to no one in my commitment to network neutrality. Because once providers start to privilege some applications or websites over others, then the smaller voices get squeezed out and we all lose.
Oh, how times change. Over 100,000 Germans have asked Google to blur out their homes on the Google Maps and Street View. Of course, I shouldn't have to remind you about the lawsuits that are ongoing about Google driving around, swiping and siphoning people's open data and collecting it and storing it. Meanwhile, Fed's requests for Google data rise 20%. More on that from Threat Level. We covered this story just a few months ago that covered the requests over 2009 rising massively. And interestingly enough, Google does show all of this. They put it on a map. Net censorship takes center stage in the online infringement bill. More on that from EFF.org. And I believe I saw breaking news this morning that Patrick Leahy, who thankfully is on his way out, another fake progressive left gatekeeper, phony left, pushing their bills. But now all the Congress critters have all scattered D.C. as they go home to beg to be reelected. So that's the online infringement bill. If we hop across the pond to the UK, we can get into the leaked list, the Digital Economy Act, and all those things. Who buys porn? Unpublished Iraq war logs trigger internal WikiLeaks revolt. Tons of people resigning from WikiLeaks, now seeing the head, Julian Assange, who you'll recall is annoyed by 9/11 truthers. And annoyed by 9/11 truth in general, which should be a huge red flag. A lot of folks are leaving because of his cozy relationship with the very establishment media that should have broken these stories in the first place years ago in the run-up to the illegal, unconstitutional wars of aggression in Afghan, Iraq, and beyond. CIA accused of using pirated software for drone assassination attacks. And lastly, you can't make this up, from Der Spiegel, former Stasi cryptographers now develop technology for NATO. Think of it as a paperclip redux, if you will. But one of the stories we cover on the latest, New World Next Week, Cyberstorm 3 tests U.S. on cyber attack. This from DefenseTalk.com. U.S. keyboard warriors were doing battle this last week with a simulated cyber attack on government and private networks that undermines basic trust in the internet. Cyberstorm 3 involves participants from 7 U.S. government departments, including the Pentagon, 11 U.S. states, 60 private companies, and 12 international partners. This exercise is the first test of the new National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center. Just think of it as another spying fusion center. Brett Lambeau, director of Homeland Stupidity's cyber exercise program, briefed reporters ahead of Cyberstorm 3 and stressed that the exercise is, quote, completely simulated. We're not attacking any real networks. We're not taking down a network. We're not injecting any real malware, end quote. The thousands of participants in the exercise received more than 1,500 injects of simulated events that they'll have to react to as unknown adversaries seek to exploit known vulnerabilities in cyber infrastructure. The other countries taking part: Australia, Britain, Canada, France, Germany, Hungary, Japan, Italy, Netherlands, New Zealand, Sweden, and Switzerland. We go into this in greater detail on the latest New World Next Week, going into the injects, the inputs, if you will, and we link over to historycommons.org and their complete 9/11 timeline, and you can read a little bit about the inputs on the morning of 9/11, tied in with the military war games and exercises going on of the exact same things happening that just so happened to take place. Google PTECH, P-T-E-C-H. Now, the way we start this article is to mention and link to just regular Associated Press story on the Stuxnet virus, attacking computer systems worldwide, but mostly Iran. And the Associated Press reports that the Stuxnet Iran computer attack linked to a wealthy group or nation, probably created by experts working for a country or a well-funded private group. And really, what's the difference? Millions of computers hit by the virus across China. More on that from the JakartaGlobe.com. And more stories just covering Cyberstorm 3 in general from Computer World, Federal Computer Week. Seattle Times again noting the cyber attack on Iranian industry appears well-funded. However, Press TV, official state media out of Iran, were trying to claim that no virus hit their nuclear systems at all, which becomes more obviously false as the days go by. The last note on this story, and again, it's just a coincidence that the new CyberCom is running drills of attacking computer systems while the exact same thing happens. But I fortunately caught this story from NewsTrust, a new site I've been subscribing to and checking out. And again, that's what I try and do for you on Media Monarchy, is just cast a wide net and bring you all kinds of amazing media and lay it all out and let you follow the leads. In a computer worm, a possible biblical clue. Deep inside the computer worm that some specialists suspect is aimed at slowing Iran's race for a nuclear weapon lies what could be a fleeting reference to the Book of Esther, the Old Testament tale in which the Jews preempt a Persian plot to destroy them. The use of the word Myrtus, M-Y-R-T-U-S, which can be read as an allusion to Esther, to name a file inside the code, is one of several murky clues that have emerged as computer experts try to trace the origin and purpose of the rogue Stuxnet program, which seeks out a specific kind of command module for industrial equipment. Not surprisingly, the Israelis are not saying whether Stuxnet has any connection to the secretive cyber war unit it has built inside Israel's intelligence service, funded and brought to you by no small part from the West. Fascinating little angle there. Biblical clues within the Stuxnet virus, within the Cyberstorm 3 story, and it still ties in with the predictive programming, the amazing pop culture we see going on, whether it's the Pope and the aliens, or witchcraft and Congress and all of those things. May you live in interesting times. Our last note on cyberspacewar.com, ex-CIA head Hayden says U.S. should be able to shut down the Internet. This from Reuters. Cyberterrorism is such a threat that the U.S. president should have the authority to shut down the Internet in the event of attack, former CIA director Michael Hayden said. Hayden made the comments during a visit to San Antonio, where he was meeting with military and civilian officials to discuss cybersecurity. The U.S. military has a new cyber command, which is to begin operations on October 1st, 2010, as we speak. Hayden said the president currently does not have the authority to shut down the Internet in an emergency. If you'll recall, just a couple of months ago, we reported on Lieberman, the supposed independent, running around saying, in China, they have controls on the Internet and they can shut it down. I think we need that here too. They want the kill switch. And that's why it's more important than ever to use these tools while we still have them, before they shunt us into oblivion, essentially. You know, like candidate Obama said just a few minutes ago. Once you start to close out those smaller voices, we all lose. We're going to flip now for the remainder of this B-side episode 187 to foodworldorder.com and take the first one from grist.org, Blackwatering the Crops. Monsanto hired notorious security firm Blackwater. Oscar Wilde once described the traditional English gentleman's pastime of fox hunting as the unspeakable in pursuit of the inedible. I thought of that great line when I caught news that Monsanto, probably the globe's most reviled agribusiness firm, had contracted services of Blackwater, the globe's most notorious private security, i.e. paramilitary firm. Jeremy Scahill, the nation's ace investigative journalist who's been dogging Blackwater and breaking news on the shadowy company for years, has the goods. Monsanto hired the company in 2008. The agribusiness giant was one of a group of transnationals, others including Chevron, Disney, Royal Caribbean, Deutsche Bank, and Barclays, that hired a Blackwater shell company called Total Intelligence Solutions. TotalIntel.com for overseas services. In an email obtained by Scahill, Blackwater operative who had talked to Monsanto officials ahead of the hiring claimed that the security firm would, quote, develop into acting as intel arm of Monsanto. That would include, of course, infiltrating activist groups working to oppose it. The operative wrote, hopefully, of Monsanto's generous protection budget. A Monsanto official told Scahill that the relationship ended in early 2010 and denied that there were ever plans to infiltrate activist groups. Instead, he said Blackwater served Monsanto, quote, by monitoring local media reports and other publicly available information. But Scahill adds the subject matter ranged from info regarding terror incidents in Asia, kidnapping in Central America, to scanning the content of activist blogs and websites. This writer, writing for Grist.org, notes at the end that they can confirm that Monsanto likes to keep an eye on blogs and websites. Back in 2005, they got their break as a food politics writer after a Monsanto lawyer slapped their blog and all of its 30 readers with a cease and desist letter. That blog is bittergreensgazette.blogspot.com. That goes back to August of 2005. Moving on with a follow-up on a story we've been serving up for you for quite some time now. More on this from allgov.com. The FDA says you have no right to know if salmon are genetically modified. If the FDA decides to approve for the first time the sale of a genetically modified animal, GMO, for Americans to consume, the deal will not include a requirement that producers or retailers label the food as such. FDA officials are still deciding whether to allow a special breed of salmon, known as Aqua Advantage, to be sold in stores. The fish is similar to an Atlantic salmon, only it has the genes of the ocean pout and Chinook salmon spliced in to make it grow twice as fast as non-GMO salmon. The Aqua Advantage is so similar to the Atlantic variety that FDA officials won't require disclosure of its genetically altered state. According to agency rules, a species has to be substantially different from its natural version before GMO labeling is mandated. This determination likely won't sit well with those opposing FDA approval of Aqua Advantage, who characterize the salmon as frankenfish, contending it could cause allergies in people who eat it. They also fear that the GMO salmon will decimate the population of natural wild salmon. The FDA rules also run counter to the growing trend of consumers wanting to know more about the food they eat. Therein, methinks, lies the answer. So our flashback goes to June of this year on foodworldorder.com. GM salmon set to move closer to your table. We now move to the September 30th Binge and Purge, 100% all natural deception. And we'll get into the Nature Conservancy and their corporate donors from Food Freedom by way of thegoodhuman.com, where they note that the Nature Conservancy, one of those great enviro organizations that well-meaning people who feel guilty want to give their money to, but this enviro organization with billions of dollars of assets has some very good, that is, rich friends who spend their days destroying the environment and our food supply. Some of those folks on Nature Conservancy's donor list: Monsanto, Cargill, Shell, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Altria, that's Philip Morris, and Nestle. Oh, but then, so that's the donor list. How about their council list? Altria, that's Philip Morris, BP, Cargill, Chevron, Dow Chemical, ExxonMobil, Monsanto, and again, Nestle. Notice any similarities between the donor list and those listed on the council? Another well-funded foundation front. A little bit of good news from the Epoch Times: Ben & Jerry's taking all natural label off their products because, of course, they're not. Which you'll notice anytime any of the smaller natural food or health companies inevitably get bought up by Unilever or Kraft or Clorox or God knows what, you notice they instantly, quietly will change their formulas. Tom's of Maine. Oh, now their toothpaste has fluoride. Ben and Jerry's. Oh, thanks for the partially alkalized God knows what. More on the GM salmon in this news purge. However, there's also an FTC, that's the Federal Trade Commission, complaint against Palm and their deceptive advertising. The flip side to that is that naturalnews.com is noting that the FTC never met a natural product they didn't want to destroy. Farmer consumer outcry helping to stop passage of draconian food safety bill. That's the Senate bill, 510. More on that very soon. Meat tainted with deadly bacteria being sold to consumers, and in reaction, the government forms a working group. Oregon seafood processor recalls crab meat. Infant formula tampered with. One sick in Ottawa. More on that from the Barf blog. And more recalls. Similac baby formula has been recalled because of...
We have a consumer alert to tell you about now. 5 million containers of baby formula recalled. That's after the company learned there could be beetles or larvae in the product. The recall involves Similac powdered baby formulas in plastic containers, also 8-ounce, 12.4-ounce, and 12.9-ounce cans. None of their liquid formulas are impacted by this recall. The FDA says the tainted formula does not pose any immediate health risk, but it could cause some stomach discomfort in infants. We have more information online now under the consumer section.
Now the latest on an Eyewitness News alert. Drug maker Abbott Laboratories has issued a major recall of baby formula. Millions of containers of Similac powdered formula may be contaminated with insect parts. The recall affects formulas sold in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Guam, and some Caribbean countries. The products could contain small beetle parts or larvae, which could cause stomach aches and digestion problems. Now, for more information on the recall, just go to our website, WPRI.com, and look for the link on the homepage.
So those two different reports, one from WPRI, the other from KXAN, are obviously reading from the same script. But there it is, bug parts in your baby formula, brought to you by chemical company Abbott Laboratories. Why would you breastfeed when you have a chemical company called Abbott Laboratories making bug part-laden powder? UK dad making sandwiches finds a dead mouse in his bread. There is a disgusting photo if you click that link. Agflation threat. Food price trend is terrifying. And our last note from ScienceDaily.com. Urban gardeners, beware. There may be lead in your soil and food. Because if we're farming in cities, our cities are filled with crap. More from naturalnews.com. Mexico to ban sodas, fried foods, and junk food from public school. The Mexican government's moving forward with plans to ban all junk foods from public school by the start of the coming school year. The kids are going to complain, of course, said Education Minister Alonso Lujimbio. We're going to start a profound cultural change. These original bits of reporting on this story go back several months, so I'm not sure what the update is, as I'm sure now we're on October 1st that school has probably started, and I wonder what the setup is with the junk food. But again, referring to urban gardening, urban food. The third story on the most recent episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com from, again, grist.org. Pacific Northwest grocery store setting up fake farmers markets. We go over this entire story. I don't want to repeat the same text to you, but basically Safeway supermarkets in Seattle set up stacks of fruits and veggies outside their own store with signs announcing a farmers market. But the mangoes, you know, probably didn't come from the beautiful tropical climate of Seattle. Wall Street Journal reports that 200 Albertsons stores in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho put up their own farmers market signs next to their produce stands. Fortunately, pressure from local groups such as Washington Farmers Markets, WAFarmersMarkets.com, got them to change the sign to now it's just an outdoor market. But it does get worse, and there is video for you from NBCLosAngeles.com that it's not just grocery stores trying to lie to you with phony farmers markets. The farmers, quote-unquote, themselves also may be serving you a side of local bullshit with their bald-faced Brocco lies, as an investigation in Los Angeles found. It is nice to see news organizations doing actual investigative work that actually affects our lives. Not tracking down someone who may be cheating or things that generally are domestic. Which, again, we'll just say that's always the nice little key to remember when you're watching the news and dissecting news, memes, and media, is asking yourself, how many people does this actually affect? Finally, my friends, on this B-side episode 187 from MediaMonarchy.com, we're still on FoodWorldOrder.com, and we're going to take it yet again from NaturalNews.com, and they have launched NaturalNews.tv. Ton of videos, more growing by the day, independent of YouTube. It's their own hosting and streaming service. But that's not all. They also just launched FoodInvestigations.com. Short documentary videos exposing little-known facts about fast food and processed food products. Again, they're all on naturalnews.tv as well as now foodinvestigations.com. So, in honor of all this, and the way we're going to go out on this episode is the first episode from foodinvestigations.com, and it's called Pharma Burger. What do you get when you combine fast food with Big Pharma? Pharma Burger. That's right. Giving you drugs. It's all about drugging the masses. And we're going to play a brief clip, and that's how we're going to go out, my friends. I appreciate you tuning in to these B-side episodes. They're a little tighter, a little looser, a little shorter, a little extra. Because, again, there's so much going on. I feel compelled to try and cover as much as I humanly can for you. I may not go into the greatest detail in all these stories, but again, on the main sites, it's all laid out. I've done all the documentation, saved the files, given you the video, given you the left, right, middle, alt, mainstream takes for you to decide for yourself. I urge you to join us for the upcoming episode 188, where we're going to go over all the other massively important news going on all around the world. Police state updates, the news purge, the floating vibes, the pop culture, all that, so much more, my friends. My name's James M. Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show at MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, get active or get radioactive. Take care.
On August 12, 2010, the American Journal of Cardiology published a study led by Dr. Daryl Francis, which declared that statin drugs should be handed out to fast food customers for free, much like ketchup packets, because the statin drugs would theoretically protect people from the negative health effects of eating hamburgers and drinking milkshakes. This announcement was not a prank. In his published paper, Dr. Francis stated, quote, "Fast food outlets could provide statin drugs free of charge," unquote. He then goes on to describe statin drugs as supplements and compares them to seat belts worn by car passengers. Dr. Francis is no quack. He's a top researcher at Imperial College London, which went out of its way to highlight the research of Dr. Francis in a top-positioned press release on its website entitled, quote, "Free statins with fast food could neutralize heart risk." The subhead for the release goes on to say, quote, "Imperial researchers suggest that cholesterol-lowering drugs could be provided alongside ketchup and salt." The message from Dr. Francis and many conventional doctors who share his belief is that pharmaceuticals are so safe they should be handed out like candy in Happy Meals and fast food menu items, so that they are widely consumed by children, adults, and senior citizens without a prescription, without a medical diagnosis and without any consideration for statin drug interactions with other medications people might be taking. But statin drugs have a track record of extreme danger to many users. Some of the side effects caused by statin drugs include kidney damage, liver damage, extreme muscle weakness, erectile dysfunction, constipation, and chronic deficiency in CoQ10, a vital nutrient for heart health. Mainstream medical researchers largely ignore these risks and attempt to position these dangerous chemical medications as supplements, almost as if they were nutrients or vitamins to be widely consumed by the public at every meal.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
Yep. This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.